All right. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight for our Wednesday evening Bible study. Had a great Bible study this morning. Good time together. Surely enjoyed part two of Preston's teaching from 1 Kings chapter 3. That was a blessing. I know that you can apply it in your heart. I can apply it in mine. Trust that you will continue to do so. And I hope and pray that you join us next week as he will conclude this series of the character studies and the ladies on our Wednesday morning Bible study. Guys, do excuse the computer over here. I'm recording our voice for sermon audio for the website on here. It's a little bit easier for me to do that, and the clarity is a little bit better. But I do want to thank you for joining us tonight, and we're going to get right at the Bible study here in just a moment. Just want to remind everyone that we have our Friday fellowship at 2:30 this week, our Friday fellowship. And I want to let you know, guys, on the last Sunday of this month, and we'll be in contact with one another a little bit more about this, we are going to be having the Lord's table during one of the services. Now, what that's going to entail is for you to get your own grape juice and your own cracker or piece of bread at home. I am going to want to start our services a little bit earlier that day, and so we will perform the Lord's table prior to our normal service. And that'll be on the final Sunday of this month, 31 of May. And but I'll be in contact and let you know a little bit more about that as time goes on. So our regular service will begin at 11 a.m. on that day, or I think we're going to do the morning service. We'll do the Lord's table at 11 a.m. But we will start our Lord's table at a quarter to. Okay. So I do want to thank you guys. Go ahead and open your Bibles up to the book of Acts is where we're going to be. But I'm going to have you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 to start out with. And we'll give a brief review, and then we'll get right into our lesson here. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time tonight. I do want to finish up on a third point for that from last week on the spread of Christianity. This is a lesson four. I think it's part five or part six in our lesson. I have to look that up. And but we'll get into it here in just a second. But let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our service tonight, and then we'll continue to move forward. If Brother Preston, if you'll be so kind to bless our Bible study tonight, and then I'll get into 2 Corinthians chapter 12 after a brief review.
Heavenly Father, thank you for all you've done in our life. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the venues that you have that we can still have services together. Lord, I ask that you touch Brother Steiner and use him, his call things to his remembrance. Help us to be receptive and to listen and to apply these things to our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So, we had the Metrodome over there going on. We don't think we need that for our audio here. All right, guys. So our Bible study today, what we're looking at, just as a brief review thus far, we're looking at the Tarsus experience in Paul's life and how it affected the spread of Christianity throughout the entire world. And the Tarsus experience would be a place of testing. It'd be a place of testing for the Apostle Paul. And not only that, it'd be a place of teaching as well, teaching there. And so Paul ends up being a quiet time with God that Paul has, which would actually later on have and produce fruit in the spread of Christianity in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And so I want to look at the trip here real quick. We're going to close down this Tarsus experience, and then we're going to address some things that happened prior and in the middle of the Tarsus experience in other men's life to enhance the spread of Christianity. You almost lay the foundation for this chosen man of God for the spread of Christianity throughout the world. But I want us to look at the trip real quick as we look at a few verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is first where we'll look. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, looking in verse 2, this is what Paul, he's writing back, and he says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such a one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he caught up, how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So when you look at when Paul's writing to the Corinthian church 14 years ago, puts Paul right in the middle of his Tarsus experience. So Paul learns in the midst of this life, and we're not going to go into these verses deep at all, but we're just looking at a time frame of when this trip happened. And so when you look back there in this Tarsus experience, Paul learns how to commune with the Holy Spirit of God. It's during a time of quietness in his life. And guys, this is what was going to bring fruit later on in the spread of Christianity throughout the world. The proof text of this communion with the Holy Spirit of God is also found in 2 Corinthians. And if you look there, really and truly, I think it's the last verse of the entire book, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Here's the proof text of Paul learning how to commune with the Holy Spirit of God during this time of quietness. And the Bible says in verse 14 of chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So many things happened while Paul was experiencing a time of loss. He was experiencing some times of suffering loss of all things that we read about in Philippians chapter 3. So many things happened to him during his hometown visit for 8 to 10 years and experiencing this loss and experiencing this time of communion with the Holy Spirit of God, learning that not only is a quiet time, but a quiet time is also going to be a day where Paul learns how to work with the government, learns how to work with the disciples, learns how to work with different people in bringing the gospel throughout the world. The truth of the matter is that God did marvelous things in Paul's life by laying a foundation of the church in the world, during which time Paul was in Tarsus, guys. Paul, you know, first we find that there was work upon Paul changing his life in order to make a difference in his life. Secondly, we find that it enabled the Gentile church to come into existence. Between Acts chapter 9, verse 32 and Acts chapter 11, verse 1, God had to get involved. God got involved. In Acts chapter 11, we've seen as soon as the Gentiles were in the church Antioch there, God goes and gets Paul and puts him to work. He spent 8 to 10 years down here in Tarsus, but all of a sudden now we have a Gentile church up and running of whom Paul is called to be the minister thereunto. And therefore, as soon as that happens, as soon as it's there, as soon as it's prepared, ready to go, God sends Barnabas down there to get him. Seeds and growth and foundations are laid for the spread of Christianity. During this time, Paul is learning how to work with a multitude of different people. He's learning how to suffer loss. He's learning how to commune with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8 says, And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. My friend, the Apostle Paul was brought onto the scene at a particular time, one brought out of due time, a minister unto the Gentiles, of which he magnified his office. But we find this to be true. We find this to be evident in his life. But guys, he had to go through a period of time to where not only did he suffer loss, he learned how to commune with the Holy Spirit of God. He learned how to work with different people. Again, we mentioned this. I know that I'm kind of repeating myself here, but I'll say it and we'll move on to the next points here, the next part of what's going on to enable the spread of Christianity. Paul was a worker. He was a laborer. He was a driver. And some of the things that he had in his life, Paul had to learn how to take a step back and wait. He had to develop that patience. Paul's mindset was, I got right. You need to get right. Let's all get right and let's get it done. And that just didn't work in much parts of the world. And the Lord knew that it wasn't going to work that well. So he gave this period of time for Paul's life so that he would learn how to work with other people. So here's what we find, guys. If you go back in your Bibles, Acts chapter 1. So the Lord Jesus Christ, this is prior to the Lord Jesus Christ ascension on high, and he has given his farewell speech, if you will, to his disciples, to the apostles. And he gives them instructions, guys. And I want to tell you, again, we're finished with the trip now. We're finished with the time of teaching and testing in Paul's life. But we're going to look at the groundwork that was laid by Jesus Christ for the Great Commission, number one. Number two, we're going to look at three different men. The other three men that the book of Acts is primarily about. Again, I said this early on. The book of Acts really and truly depicts four men's lives. We know that it depicts Peter, Stephen, Philip, and then Paul. The majority of it is written about Paul. But in order for that majority of that writing to be done for Paul, there was other men that had to be involved in the spread of Christianity. And obviously we know that Peter's involved there. We know that Stephen's sermon is what had great effect on Paul to push him and drive him not only into salvation, but to push him and drive him to be a witness around the world. But Philip in himself, Philip is the one that we see has a great involvement for Paul's ministry to later on flourish. And we're going to look at those things here this week and probably a little bit next week. But we find everything kicked off in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And this is cross-referenced with Matthew 28, Luke 24, and Mark 16. But in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power." This is Jesus Christ speaking prior to His ascension. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Beloved, the fuse we find here, we find that the foundation was laid for the spread of Christianity throughout the entire world. Now, if you go in your Bibles to Acts chapter 7, and the first individual that we're going to look at briefly here, okay, we're going to look at what led into Paul's conversion. Now, I want us to see what led into Paul's conversion. After that, we're going to go to a section prior to Paul's conversion, and then we're going to go to a time afterwards, obviously, and a time during the Tarsus experience. We may not get to that this week. But prior to Paul's conversion, prior to his trip to Damascus, we find here the man named Stephen, a man named Stephen. Acts chapter 7 and verse 58, if you'll look briefly with me real quick. Acts chapter 7 and verse 58, the Bible says, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. My friend, can I say this to you here this evening, that the fuse was lit for the spread of Christianity at the time when Stephen was stoned. The events which occurred in Stephen's life not only began the preparation of Saul's conversion, but it forced the disciples to finally obey the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. The great commission that the Lord Jesus Christ had given them on the day that he ascended up. Up until this point, the gospel remained in Jerusalem and only Jerusalem. Now think about this just for a second. The Holy Spirit of God falls in Acts chapter 2. Jesus Christ is resurrected from the grave in the Passover weekend. Yeah, we know that to be true. We know that Jesus ascended on high one time in between that first week of his resurrection. That was to put the blood upon the mercy seat. He was to come back. It was a quick trip. He came back, made himself known unto his disciples, made himself known unto a multitude of people. And for 40 days, Jesus Christ walked this earth after his resurrection. Those 40 days went by. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Again, cross-reference with Matthew 28, Luke 24, and Mark 16. This occurs, and the Lord Jesus Christ gives them instructions of what we refer to and we know as the Great Commission. He says the gospel is to go in Jerusalem first, then it needs to go into Judea, then it needs to go to Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. This is what happened. 10 days after Jesus Christ ascended on high, you had the Feast of Pentecost. Penta meaning 50 days following the Passover. That's why how we know the time frame. So when the Holy Spirit of God fell, that was the time frame. That was when the clock was to start for the gospel to begin the spread of Christianity throughout the world. We see a multitude. Thousands are saved just in Acts chapter 2. We see that 3,000 and 5,000 and then many are added unto the church at Jerusalem. We have chapter upon chapter that goes on and on and on with the gospel being preached and taught and the church growing at Jerusalem. I think G. Campbell Morgan likens the size of the church in Jerusalem as 60,000 people strong. And up until this point, up until we get into the latter part of chapter 7 of the book of Acts when Stephen is killed, the gospel had not left Jerusalem yet. Jesus Christ gave them instructions. He said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. The spread of Christianity throughout the whole world so that the gospel would be seen and heard by everybody in the world, that the Gentiles may receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Samaritans may receive it, that all throughout Judea, that people get saved and born again. Yes, to the Jew first, but also to the Greeks and all to the Gentiles and everybody around the world. And yet they kept it right here in Jerusalem. So what happens? God sends them a Saul. He sends them a Saul who's breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the church. Look in chapter 8 there, and look in verse 1. It says, "And Saul consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." So the apostles stay in in Jerusalem. But now we find the spread of Christianity occurring because of the persecution that happened against Stephen and himself. Because of the events that occurred with Stephen, now we find not only the preparation of Saul's conversion, but we find the disciples are being forced to finally obey the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ that he gave them on the day they ascended on high. Now the gospel has moved into Judea and into Samaria as ordered and in the order. Remember, Paul says, let all things be done decently and in order, as ordered by the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have Stephen lighting this fuse for the spread of Christianity by preaching this sermon that he preaches throughout the Old Testament, goes into the law, goes into the prophets, and then runs himself as quick as he can to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they stoned him to death. We find in the latter part of chapter 7, they were consenting unto the death. That means that Paul gave the thumbs up for them to kill Stephen in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And immediately from that point right there, persecution upon the church, upon the disciples, and that persecution upon the church continued on until we find Acts chapter 9, 3 years later, Acts chapter 9, verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. So you have a persecution that happens within the church and against the church at Jerusalem and now the surrounding areas, all because the obedience to the Great Commission was not followed in the very beginning. As the Lord said, listen, here was the time clock. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until... Okay, let's go back to Acts. Again, I'm not trying to kick a dead horse here, guys, but I want us to understand the Lord gave an order here. He gave a time. You shall receive power from on high. If you go to Luke chapter 24, let's cross-reference this just real quick here. We're going to read the different occurrences that we find. And I want us to see here how the Lord has given these things. Notice what you find here. Luke chapter 24 and in verse 49. This is the time clock that the Lord Jesus Christ gave the apostles for the gospel to be preached in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then into the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 49 says, and behold, I send the promises of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Watch this next word. Until ye be endued with power from on high. Until. There is the time frame right there. There was a time that you were to stay in Jerusalem until you were endued, until you were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And what did they do? They stayed in Jerusalem for a number of years. And therefore, God allowed the persecution upon the church to come so that it would scatter them like kicking an anthill over. As soon as you kick an anthill over, every one of those ants comes scurrying out all over the place. And what are they doing? They're trying to rebuild that anthill. That's what happens here. Stephen is killed. He's stoned to death. Saul was consenting unto that death. And because of this persecution and this persecution that happened for years on end up until Paul's converted and comes back to Jerusalem and finally 15 days later leaves and goes into this Tarsus experience, the church is persecuted all of those years. Okay? Now that happens, my friend. That happens for a span of over 3 years. 3 years and a few weeks or maybe a month. Just to scatter them throughout the gospel may be heard by others. The fuse was lit with Stephen. This is what led to Paul's conversion so the spread of Christianity would occur. And what I want to do is I want to take us a step here, a step into the other direction. And I want us to look at Acts chapter 8. And while this persecution is going on, during the time that this persecution is occurring, we find another man that is at the helm, and a man named Philip. He's also known as Philip the Evangelist that we'll see here, latter part of the book of Acts. And I want to talk on Philip here, or speak on Philip just for a few moments, and then probably going to save Peter for next week. But we find Philip before the conversion of Paul, all right, during the persecution of the church, lay the groundwork in the completing, guys, lay the groundwork into further, if you will, the spread of Christianity throughout the world. Now we're going to find it going to Samaria. Notice here in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible says, Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, verse 6, And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, and hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, if were unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with the palsies, and that were lame, were healed, and there was great joy in the city. Okay, look in verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now go down to verse 25. And verse 25 says, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So here's what we find now. According to verse 1 of Acts chapter 8, now we find that these disciples now, not the apostles, but these disciples, guys, they were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So now we find that three-fourths of the Great Commission has now has started, I should say. I don't want to say fulfilled, but has been started. So the gospel has been preached in Jerusalem. It has been for a number of years here. Now it's gone into Judea, and now it's gone into Samaria, and they with one accord were saved, born again in the blood of Christ. They, through the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, were baptized, both men and women. And then all of a sudden, they're preaching throughout the multitude of villages throughout the Samaritans that they are receiving the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what we have. Before the conversion of Paul, before Saul's conversion, we find this great evangelist named Philip preaching the gospel throughout Judea and Samaria. And all of a sudden he comes, okay, this is the very beginning of the uttermost parts of the world receiving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the cuspus of the spread of Christianity throughout the world, and this is when it's began, making way for the future missionary of the Gentiles, who is the Apostle Paul. But watch what happens next. Now you have the gospel going, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. But now you're going to find, in order for the gospel to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, there's one group of people that need to receive it. So Philip is chosen to be that tool, to be that instrument, to bring the gospel and to see the conversion of the very first Gentile on record. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in a chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And reading out, they're reading from Isaiah 53, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hindereth me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached into all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, here's what you find. You find that the Philip the evangelist is now landing in Caesarea. He is there for the duration of his time. Philip would remain in Caesarea for the rest of his life. We know that to be true as we look in Acts chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. Then we'll come back to our thoughts on what we just read. Acts chapter 21, verses 8 and 9 says, and the next day, that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now going back to Acts in chapter 8, this is what we find this day. This is what we find this day. We find the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the very first Gentile on record, saved and born again. The very first time. So what is this going to do? Well, we know that the Apostle Paul is the minister unto the Gentiles. He magnified his office, as I've already said. He is called, he is born, he is one that is born out of due season. He's the last one to see the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said, and last of me, he was seen on the road to Damascus. He was saved, born again there. He was baptized, hands were laid on by Ananias. He preached in Damascus. He went to Arabia, came back to Damascus, preached there for 3 years, went up to Jerusalem, 15 days, goes to the city of Tarsus. But before all that happens, groundwork is being laid for Gentiles to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's found through the work and the ministry of Philip the Evangelist, another instrument, another tool used for the spread of Christianity throughout this entire world. Acts chapter 21, verses 8 and 9 will be the first meeting, at least on record, that Paul and Philip would have since the death of Stephen, some 20 years later. It would have been, I imagine it would have been an amazing meeting for him to sit there at that table alongside with his daughters, knowing that this was the man who gave the approval, who gave the thumbs up for his dear friend and confidant, Stephen, to be slain. Nevertheless, beloved, what we find here, leading up to Paul's conversion, before Paul's conversion, we find two men's great, wonderful work who were instrumental in the spread of Christianity throughout the world. Now, guys, I know that we've highlighted most of this. We've highlighted the life of the Apostle Paul and the work that he has done. But, beloved, he could have never done the work that the Lord enabled him and prepared for him to do had these two men came, had not come before him. Matter of fact, Stephen was the cornerstone to the conviction, the sermon that he preached for Paul to even get saved and born again. And yet we find that Philip, before Paul's conversion, while he's out breathing threat and slaughter against the church, against the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, Philip is winning people to the Lord. He has started the spread of Christianity, not only from Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria. And then all of a sudden, this one Gentile, the first Gentile saved, an Ethiopian eunuch, who came to find out what God was about in Jerusalem, all to find out that he couldn't even proselyte into Judaism because he's a eunuch. And God yet made a way. Somehow he gets a copy of Isaiah 53. And God sent this man to prepare the heart of the Ethiopian eunuch, the first Gentile saved. Which, beloved, when we find Acts chapter 10, Cornelius gets saved after Paul. Peter is utilized in that. We're going to look at that next week. And then the rest, well, as they say, the rest is history. So, beloved, I want us to understand the spread of Christianity is not something that occurred by happen chance. It didn't happen just by mere coincidence. It happened by an orchestrated effort of the Holy Spirit of God and God's men, but by people taking hold of what God had commanded them to do. Yes, these men had to have a little nudging by the persecution of the church. Yes, they got comfortable. Every time we find that one of these guys get comfortable, we go back, and again, I don't want to just repeat everything, but in Acts chapter 19, when Paul spends 3 years in Ephesus, a great revival breaks out. Tremendous, wonderful things are happening. Men of God are being trained. Preacher boys are being sent out. Churches are being started throughout all the area for the work that happened there in Ephesus. But when it came time to leave, an uproar was brought into the land. An uproar was brought into the city. An uproar, a riot had occurred for Paul to get out of Dodge because it was time for him to go to the next place. So, beloved, we find the same thing here in the early days of the church. We find the same thing in order to spark and to light that fuse for the spread of Christianity throughout the world. It was a persecution that came. But that persecution gave birth to the gospel being preached throughout Samaria, throughout Judea, and then eventually through the Gentile world, of where the Lord was preparing a man for a day and for an hour, one born out of due season, so that he would be that minister unto the Gentiles, so that he would be the one that would take the gospel to the regions beyond. But he wasn't going to do it without the foundation of the groundwork being laid by men such as Stephen, Philip, and then, as we're going to see next week, Peter. Let's bow our heads, if you will. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together tonight. Lord, we thank you for the lessons that you've given us. We thank you for the precious guidance, the grace and mercy that you've allowed each and every one of us to have. Father, I want to thank you for giving us a perfect record of the early days of the church. I want to thank you, Lord, for what we have seen in the lives of men such as Stephen and such as Philip, Lord, and how it had such an effect in the life of Paul. Lord, I just pray that you would help us just gravitate and learn from this. Help it to encourage us that even in the midst of dark times and dark days, that, that Lord, you would use it to your glory. That Father, even if we can apply it into our life, certain things may come into our days for one particular purpose so that the gospel may even reach further and beyond our human imaginations. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time together. We pray that you bless this this message to people's hearts and mind. And Lord, we pray that you keep everyone safe and sound. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us tonight, being with us here this evening for our Bible study. As you know, this has been a continual study over the past several weeks on the spread of Christianity. And so if you did just join us tonight for the first time, try to go back and you can either listen on sermonaudio.com or go to our website, saronchapel.com. You can pull the sermons off there, the audio sermons off of there, or just go back on some of the Facebook videos and try to catch up either on this lesson here, the spread of Christianity, or some of Brother Preston's previous lessons on character studies of ladies in the Bible. So either which way, try to catch up if you will, because I know coming into this lesson today, kind of like it was right in the middle of what we had taught last week and where we're going. Next week, we're going to finish this section as we look at Peter's life during the Tarsus experience in Paul's life. And so whereas today we looked at Philip's life prior to Paul's conversion, Stephen's event leading up to Paul's conversion, next week we're going to see some of the things that were going on still enabling the spread of Christianity while Paul is in the midst of Tarsus, learning how to serve for lost, and communing with God. So guys, hope that you join us this coming Sunday at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for our worship services this Sunday. We've got our fellowship on Friday at 2:30 p.m. It'd be great to have you along with us. Any prayer requests you have, guys, please send them our way. Either send them on Facebook at Sarah Cares prayer request page, or if you're on our WhatsApp prayer group, go ahead and send it along there. Thank you so much, and we'll see you soon, and God bless.